Leader of the Islamic Revolution says people high turnout in elections a heavy blow to enemies. Iran's president says enemies are worried about cultural and scientific successes achieved by Islamic Iran. Iran's judiciary spokesman says 40 spies related to Iranian scientists' assassination on trial. Iran refutes Saudi allegations over spying. Many people are killed and wounded in a bloody day across Iraq. And Hamas says there is no confidence in U.S.-backed peace talks. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Ivan Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says American officials will once again fail in their attempts to discourage public participation in Iran's upcoming elections. Addressing a group of Imam Hussein Military Academy graduates on Monday, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "Those who express opinions about Iran's election are the same people whose records are black." The leader explained that Guantanamo prison, drones over the impoverished villages in Pakistan and Afghanistan, warmongering policies in the region, and unconditional support for the criminal Zionist regime are a source of shame and a mark of stain for U.S. officials. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that the people turnout in the elections will bring the country more dignity, immunity, and international prestige, and will disappoint the enemies. He further advised Iranians to carefully consider the words of the candidates in order to choose the most competent one. The leader said the people should choose a candidate who would be able to make a more glorious future for the country and the Islamic Revolution. He added the elected president should be able to solve the problems of the country and resist against enemies and turn the Islamic Republic into a role model for the oppressed of the world. Ayatollah Khamenei further advised the candidates to manage their campaigns and avoid hefty costs. The leader also pointed out that differences of opinion should not lead to confrontation and all should abide by law, and that the candidates should avoid challenges in election campaign. Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Electing the highest-ranking executive official of the country is a sensitive and important task for which there are legal procedures to be followed accordingly." The leader noted that the election atmosphere must be lively and that debates must be free from hate-mongering. The Iranian president says the enemies are worried about the cultural and scientific successes achieved by the Islamic Iran. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a remark on Monday in the inauguration ceremony of the Gurgan-Inchburun International Railroad Project in the northern province of Gurgan. Ahmadinejad said, "Today Iran has a strong presence in the cultural and scientific arenas." Referring to Iran's rich civilization, the president pointed out that the country is capable of being pioneer in the fields of humanity, justice and monotheism in the world. Iran's judiciary spokesman says a number of 40 spies who collaborated with the foreign intelligence services in the assassination of several Iranian scientists have been arrested last year, noting that most of them are waiting for a court ruling. Speaking to reporters on Monday, Ghulam Hossein Mohseni Eshei, who also serves as prosecutor general, said the intelligence ministry, in cooperation with the judicial system, managed to identify over 40 spies who were elements of the alien spy agencies and were responsible for martyring several Iranian nuclear scientists. Mohseni Eshei explained that some of them have gone on trial, including one who has presented his last defense bill. He said, "Once the court rulings are issued for all these 40 spies, some details of their cases will be released to the public." Iran's deputy foreign minister has criticized the Saudi officials and the government for fabricating unsubstantiated accusations against the Islamic Republic of Iran, citing the spying charges. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said, "Leveling unsubstantiated charges and raising hue and cries might be useful for Saudi Arabia domestically, but will not serve bilateral relations. Amir Abdullahian explained that after recent visits of Iranian Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi to Jeddah and the detailed discussions with senior Saudi officials, Iran expected the Saudi Foreign Minister to exercise self-restraint and stop literature of threat. He further advised the Saudis as friends that both countries could get maximum benefit from the existing wide capacities in favor of people of the two countries and the region. At least 70 people have been killed and dozens more injured in 11 bomb attacks that rocked the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad. The explosions tore into busy markets and shopping areas in mainly Shiite districts on Monday. The blasts come one day after over a dozen people lost their lives in a series of cross-country attacks, including a deadly explosion on the highway from Balad to Samarra, north of the capital, that killed 5 Iranian pilgrims. More than 400 people have been killed and hundreds more injured in bombings and other acts of violence in Iraq since the start of May. A booby-trapped car went off on Monday evening in Syria's central city of Homs, killing at least 6 people and injuring 30 others. The explosive-packed vehicle was detonated by terrorists near a fuel station at the Wire neighborhood in Homs. Meanwhile, a Syria TV reporter was killed in the strategic town of Qusair as heavy clashes continue between foreign-sponsored militants and government soldiers. Yara Abbas, working with Syria's private Al-Akhbariya TV, was killed near the Adaba military airport in Qusair as she was covering an army assault on the airport. Syrian army troops have tightened their hold on Qusair and established their control over more than half of the town. Palestinian sources say the Zionist regime has supplied Gaza hospitals with a potentially killer gas to be used for anesthetic purposes. The Ministry of Health in Gaza said the Zionist regime, which is the sole supplier of nitrous oxide gas to Gaza hospitals, gave them carbon dioxide gas, posing as nitrous gas. 4 patients have died after inhaling carbon dioxide instead of nitrous oxide during surgical operations. Gaza Health Minister Ashraf Al-Ghadra described the Tel Aviv regime's move an unethical crime. The minister further held the Zionist regime fully responsible for endangering the lives of Palestinian patients. Nitrous oxide mixed with oxygen is given to patients to ease the pain and induce sleep prior to surgeries. Experts say replacing nitrous oxide with carbon dioxide will cause cardiac arrest and can lead to death. According to human rights organizations, hundreds of Gazans have died in past years as a direct result of the choking Zionist regime blockade. Meantime, Hamas Prime Minister said he has no confidence in U.S.-backed peace talks aimed at resolving differences between occupiers and Palestinian leaders. Ismail Haniyeh's comments came after Zionist regime called to resume negotiations. The Palestinians say there's no point in negotiating while Zionist occupiers continue to build Jewish settlements in West Bank and East Al-Quds.
We don't have any confidence in the meetings aimed at bringing back normalization and renewing what is already non-existing talks. We think America has nothing to offer to the Palestinians, and Israel doesn't even think to grant the minimum of Palestinian rights.
And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution says people high turnout in elections, a heavy blow to enemies. Iran's president says enemies are worried about cultural and scientific successes achieved by Islamic Iran. Iran's judiciary spokesman says 40 spies related to Iranian scientists' assassination are on trial. Iran refutes Saudi allegations over spying. Many people are killed and wounded in a bloody day across Iraq. And Hamas says there is no confidence in U.S.-backed peace talks. Greek government aims to offer bigger investors to Greeks in a bid to attract international investment. Our correspondent in Athens has more on the issue.
Luring foreign investors into a new business-friendly ecosystem previously tagged as an ailing economy clouded by a protracted crisis has been described in the past as mission impossible. Convincing investors Greece is willing to cut through bureaucratic red tape is now the new priority of the government. Short-term residency permits to entrepreneurs have already been presented as part of a business incentive with a special focus on China, Russia and the Arab states. The Prime Minister's trip to China has indeed set the foundation for a new area of cooperation, yet many analysts consider there is much more to be done. With his recent visit to China, Prime Minister Samaras took the argument a step further when he told a business conference in Shanghai that Chinese entrepreneurs investing more than 250,000 euros in real estate could qualify for a five-year residence permit. This could also secure foreign investors easy access to all the other countries of the passport-free Schengen area, with Russian investors already hunting down real estate opportunities and summer houses in the northern parts of Greece and the Aegean. Hoping for some fast and concrete results, these initiatives should take some weight off the shoulders of ordinary people who over the past 4 years have seen their real income shrink and their tax dues increase. The question now rightfully raises concerns regarding cases of tourists or foreign residents who don't have business deals to offer. Up to now, they had to queue up every 6 months to renew their residency permits and could even face deportation. Despite the efforts, many Chinese and Russian enterprises still have concerns regarding the country's economic prospects. Until now, they preferred to stick to their wait-and-see strategy that has been the main trend throughout the crisis. The summer season could prove them wrong. Residency permits as well as investment incentives could lay the foundation for a new international interest in Greece, yet fighting bureaucracy and securing a stable tax system are the pivotal variables that could take Greece further into a fragile growth past the summertime. Lukas Germanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
At least two local officials have come under attack in separate bomb explosions on the troubled southeastern and northern parts of Afghanistan. In the first attack, the chief of the Darzaib district in the northern Jowzjan province was injured in a bomb explosion. Separately, the deputy governor of the southeastern Zabul province was targeted in a similar assassination attempt. Afghan officials say his convoy was hit by a remote-controlled bomb as he was heading to the adjacent Kandahar province. But the official escaped unhurt. No person or group has yet claimed responsibility for the attacks. However, the Taliban militants are usually blamed for similar attacks. Meanwhile, a U.S. trooper was killed and several others were wounded in Afghanistan after they came under fire in the east and west of the country. In other news, the Taliban militants said they attacked a convoy of U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan's western province of Farah, and five Italian soldiers have been killed in the assault. There are conflicting reports on the casualties of the attack, which was carried out on Monday when a bomber blew up his explosive-laden car near a convoy of the foreign troops in Belabul district. NATO also confirmed the attack, but said only two Italian soldiers have been wounded. A roadside bomb hit a police patrol in Pakistan's troubled northwest, killing five officers. Police said the incident took place during a routine patrol in the remote mountainous Shangla district northeast of Peshawar. Police added the high-intensity bomb destroyed the van the officers were in and killed them. Pakistan's interim prime minister strongly condemned the attack and ordered the authorities to report the findings that led to the tragic incident. There was no immediate claim of responsibility, but Pakistani Taliban have frequently targeted security forces with bomb and gun attacks. Amazon workers went on strike in the German city of Leipzig to demand higher wages. The German trade union Verdi said workers at the Amazon's logistics center launched a work stoppage on Monday, and others would follow when the late shift begins later in the day. The move comes several days after Verdi staged its first day-long strike on May 14, when around 300 workers in Leipzig and 600 workers in Bad Hersfeld launched a walkout. Verdi is calling for Amazon to pay its 9,000 employees in Germany according to a sector-wide wage deal for the retail and mail order industries. The union is also demanding higher basic pay and better benefits for night shift workers.
We are fighting for our rights, for fair working conditions. We would like to have a trade agreement, Christmas bonus, and holiday pay. We want to get paid fairly for the work we're doing here every day.
And that's a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.